The Very Little Theater of Eugene, founded in 1929, opens its new season later this month with a production of the classic Dracula. I'm Claude Offenbacher, a life member of the VLT, here to reflect on 90 years of opening nights with theater president Karen Sheeland. Welcome, Karen.
Well, thank you.
Karen, let's start with something of your personal history with the VLT.
Well, I came to Eugene, Oregon back in 1967 and immediately found Very Little Theater. And I was in a production of The Devil's Advocate, and that was in 1969, and I became a member. I was 23 at the time, and Judge Spencer was in that cast. I've served in lots of positions at the theater. I've done properties, I've been the assistant director, I've run lights, box office, ushered, and I directed my first play at VLT in 1981, and that was Chapter 2 by Neil Simon. I've also served on the board of directors in various positions, and currently as president. The last play I directed was Perfect Wedding, and my next is By Spirit by Noel Coward, which will open in January.
Quite a history. Even though the Very Little Theater has been a Eugene institution since 1929, wow, some of our listeners don't know what it is, how it got its name, or even where it's located. Could you fill us in on that?
I can. A group of eight people met in one of the living rooms belonging to one of the people there on March 3rd in 1929 to discuss forming a theater. And one of them looked around at the others and said, oh, it's going to be a very little theater. And the name stuck. And so they were very involved with the University of Oregon. And they became almost itinerant players. The High League Theater, which came down in urban renewal, used to be a roadhouse, you know, for people going from San Francisco, troops going from San Francisco to Seattle. And anyway, when the movies were over, up went the screen and Very Little Theater put on plays. Well, from there, they moved on to 13th Avenue, like next to Max's Tavern, and they called it the Pillbox. It was so small, people would sit above the transom. And then they moved to the fairgrounds, and that's when the fairgrounds looked like a fort. And they'd have a sheet separating the men from the women, you know, to change, and it was cold. Well, then they were surviving on ticket sales, as we have throughout our 90 years. And they, one of the members, Claire Hamlin, designed, and we got the present building constructed. But they didn't want to go into debt, so the stage house was never built. But that was in 1951, and it's at 2350 Hilliard Street.
I was struck by the fact that you say the theater has survived on ticket sales alone. That's unique in Eugene, isn't it?
I would think so. I mean, I can't really speak for the other theaters, but for us, everything, that they never wanted to go into debt. And so everything was paid, and our ticket prices are always kept low. But we decided a few years ago, too, to take $2 of every ticket sold and to put into it what we called a building fund, so we could start gathering money for future changes to the theater.
Because the current building is kind of aged at this point, isn't it?
It is. It is. We have to use off-site storage now for some of our furnishings and for our costumes. And it could do with it needs a facelift. The people are taller now and bigger. So we need to have a better auditorium, better sight lines for people to see the shows, and more leg room, more comfortable seats.
Karen, the Very Little Theater was born in the Depression. It continued producing annual seasons through World War II and right up to this day. How and where did the Very Little Theater begin? You've told us that. But what plays were produced in the 1930s that I wouldn't expect to see now?
That's a tough one. I'd have to look at our wall that we have in the lobby, because we list all the plays that have ever been produced from the very beginning. Off the top of my head, I would say they were doing melodramas. That's what you call, you know, where people can boo and hiss and join in.
Didn't they have a name for those?
The melodramas, what do we call them? Corn shows?
That's what I was trying to think
of. Corn shows, you know, you're supposed to be able to have peanuts on the floor and hopefully not throw rotten tomatoes, and they'd have oleo acts. And so...
What's an oleo act?
It's where people would do a bit. You know, maybe a song and dance routine, maybe a comedy, a little bit. So it would break up the action. Ethan Newman, who was the postmaster, the last politically appointed postmaster here in Eugene, he used to put them on. And they had lots of fun. And what we'd do, back when I joined, they were still doing melodramas. So one year there'd be a melodrama, because it didn't cost anything. And the next year we'd do a musical, because they cost a lot. And that went on for quite a while, but the interest sort of faded. But there is a great photograph in the lobby, and it shows the backdrop with local businesses advertised. And some of those are still in existence today. So that's kind of neat.
It was neat that you mentioned Ethan Newman, because I had the pleasure of being in the last play Ethan Newman did at the Very Little Theater, which was The Pajama Game, where he played father of the lead, and got to meet him then. Quite a gentleman.
Yes.
As its current president, what about the Very Little Theater, past and present, are you proudest of?
Well, I think the fact that we keep our, that we are a true community theater. You know, anybody can walk into the Very Little Theater and they can volunteer. They can audition. They can work on shows. They can usher. There are lots of opportunities. So we're very pleased about that. And that we've been satisfying our audiences, you know, with good theater, community theater, for these past almost 90 years now.
Including with some people who've gone on to professional careers. Can you share some of those with us?
Yes. One thing that's interesting, not necessarily they've had a career in theater, but we have a lot of patrons who were brought as their parents, you know, to the theater, and they carried on that tradition. Now, some of the names I can mention are people who the children of members and probably did act. I just didn't know them back then. But one, for example, is Becky Ruff. Her parents were very involved with VLT, and she sang, probably still is, with the Paris Opera. There's Julie Payne. In fact, I live in her dad's house, and I'd performed with him. That was Ken Payne. She's a regular supporting actor down in Hollywood. She's not a big name, but she's continually worked in the business. And then there's Supak Newbury. She sang with the New Christy Minstrels. And in 1965, she was a finalist in the Miss America pageant. Yeah, well, then, of course, you do know David Ogden Stiers, who did many films, and, of course, on TV, known for MASH. He was in Harry Potter. And the last thing he did at VLT was Love Letters. But I can't remember the time. I'm going to guess it was in the 80s, but I'm not sure.
No, it wasn't. It was in the 90s at least.
Oh, was it? Okay. Okay. And he did that with one of our members. And then, of course, there's the local dentist who went to L.A., Edgar Buchanan, who became known for his performance in Petticoat Junction.
Yeah. So how do you decide what plays to present and what are you offering this season?
We decide by, we have a play committee, and that is headed up by a board member. And their task is to read plays, plays that have been submitted by members of the theater or would-be directors, you know, a show they'd really like to do. And that group comes together, they finalize like 10 plays, and then the membership vote on the 10 plays to be produced in the next season. This season, as you mentioned, we're opening with Dracula, that's going to be directed by Stanley Coleman. And fittingly, what we're doing for that play on its closing nights, the 9th and 10th of November, we're having a blood drive in the parking lot.
And I've already seen a skeleton in the green room, so should be an interesting play.
It's an amazing set, too. It's very, very cathedral-like. And anyway, so that opens. Then we have Blythe Spirit in January, which I'm going to be directing. That's going to be followed in March by Hello, Dolly. And then we're having a mystery with Something's Afoot. And then we'll close in August with Harvey. And what they've tried to do with this season, because the 90th, is try to go back and do a lot more of the classics or older shows that we have done in the past. But then we have a small theatre. So that's in our main theatre. Our main theatre is 220 seats. So it really is still little. But we have an even smaller one, which we call Stage Left, and that seats 75. And we do two productions in there. And that's going to be Thornton Wilder's, you know, he did Our Town. It's called The Long Christmas Dinner, and that's going to be here at the end of this year. And then we're doing Proof. I believe that's going up in April, but the interesting thing is that in February, we're doing Pilgrims, Musa and Sherry in the New World, and that's going to be in February, and we're doing that in conjunction through Minority Voice Theatre.
Which is a relatively new theatre that you've taken under the VLT umbrella, isn't that right?
Yes, they're a project of ours. They reach out to people who are not don't really have a voice in the community, especially in theatre. So what Carol Horn and Stanley Coleman, they're the co-founders of Minority Voices, have reached out into the community. So we did Now I Am Your Neighbour, and that is people, immigrants.
And you've done that several times.
Yes.
It's been sold out a couple of,
yes,
couple of times.
And that was locally written. And they've also done transfigurations to do with sexual orientation and identity. So they're very busy. Well, this particular play, Pilgrims, Musa and Sherry in the New World, also deals with different cultures, because he's from Egypt and she's American. He's a cab driver. She works in a restaurant. And anyway, it's their relationship. The interesting thing about that one, though, is that the director is a U of O professor, and the playwright lives in Portland. And that play has been spotlighted. It used to be called the Northwest Drama Conference. And now it's the, I can't remember, Kennedy Center for the Arts. It's to do with universities, and we're all in divisions. And anyway, it's been spotlighted by that organization. So they're going to feature it. And we'll have the playwright here. It's really an exciting venture for us to be with the University of Oregon, because their production staff will all be the students.
At a time when there's a lot of talk about immigration and the whole question of people from around the world and how they relate to our country, I think that'll be a very fascinating production. Finally, Karen, how do you expect the VLT to be different in 10 years when its 100th anniversary rolls around?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm hoping I make it. I was there for the 50th. I was there for the 75th. You know, maybe I'm hoping.
You've been with the theater for 50 years?
Next year, it'll be 50 years.
Wow.
I became a member. I know. What happened? I mean, how did I get this old? I don't feel it, but anyway, there it is. In the next 10 years, yes, I hope to see a very top... I don't want to say top of the art, because it always sounds cliche, but a nicely remodeled theatre, the way it was supposed to be, with the stage house. You know, we've got that empty back lot, and plenty of seating for the audience, great sight lines, and that we have more inclusive programmes, because by that time we should have a general manager well in place. So there'll be somebody on site all the time. Right now we're a volunteer organisation. We're not there every day. We're not that kind of a business, you know, because we are a community theatre run by volunteers. And so more inclusive programs, especially for children. I mean, we've already done some, but it would be better to have a lot more programs and to have a very proactive board. Because the board, I still see the board as being membership driven, but with people from the community, which we've not had. Because right now our board is a management, you know, we do the day-to-day jobs. And, you know, more work with Minority Voices and, you know, carry on with some of the programs we have, them, and of course Discover VLT.
Karen Sheeland is the current and past president, probably the longest standing president ever of the VLT, over three different configurations. And we've been talking about the history of the VLT as it begins its 90th season this month. Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Claude.